The conditioned soul.
Subjected to birth and death.
Abudaha. Most foolish. Because of accepting the body as the self. I am he. Nijakarma bandhanaha. Accepting different bodily forms as a result of his sinful activities. Sukha itchya. Desiring to be happy within this material world. Karma. Fruit of activities. Samihute. Viands. Asukam. But it is for distress only. Yatsevaya. By rendering service. Unto whom? Tam. The entanglement of karma. Vidunoti. Clears up. Asat matim. The unclean mentality. Accepting the body as the self. Grantim. Hard knot. Saha. His lordship. His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vindyat, being cut off. Hridayam, in the core of the heart. Saha, he the Lord. Naha, our. Guruhu, the Supreme Spiritual Master. Translation, in hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But in rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. So you can repeat. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. The purport by the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. For material happiness, the conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities, which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be in avidya or ignorance. Because of a false hope for happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here Maharaj Satyavrata prays that the Lord sever this hard knot of false happiness and thus become his supreme spiritual master. So, Jano Buddha Yam Nijakarma Bandana Sukhetcheya Karma Samihate Sukham Yatsevyatam Vidunot Yasan Matim Grand Cleans of Vidyadriday Hong Sano Guru. So, Om Gana Tivananda Shah. Gananjana Shilake Achakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So we do know that the search for material happiness is fruitless. And in other words, it's fruitless to try to expect material happiness coming from fruitive activities. fact, the Bhagavad Gita says that was it Avritam Gyanamaitena Gyanino and the Chavayana Kama Rupena Kontiya Dushprena Lenacha, that the more you endeavor, the more you have, the more your desires become inflamed. And when your desires are inflamed, you're not peaceful. And if you're not peaceful, you're not happy. So we all know that. That's obvious. But one thing that we contribute in the Krishna consciousness movement to the understanding of spirituality or happiness is that even if you want to get free from the miseries of the material existence, that's also misery. That may come as a shock to you, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kam, actually not Lord Chaitanya, it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kam Sakalaya Shanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atayava Shanta. This is a very important verse for us. And this verse states, whether you want bhukti, or bhoga, or mukti, or you want to get out of the whole thing, or you want to get some nice siddhis, which means yogic powers, or powers within this world, or become a powerful person, bhukti mukti siddhi kam sakalaya shanta, Krishna bhakta, then you're still going to be ashanta. Ashanta means what? That means not peaceful. Like we have the word shanti, and many times we go to Indian programs and they're chanting what? Om shanti, shanti, shanti. So simply by chanting shanti, you don't become shanti. Unfortunately, I wish it was so easy. The more you become desirous of shanti, the more you become ashanti. The more you become desirous of liberation, the more you become ashanti. And without peacefulness, where's the chant? You can't be happy. I mean, it's a prerequisite. Peacefulness is not actually happiness. It's a prerequisite for happiness. Because when your mind is disturbed, and many of us have experienced, of course, probably none of you have experienced having your minds disturbed, right? No. Okay. So, let me explain what it is. So when your mind is like disturbed, it's all over the place, you can't be blissful. And, you know, one thing I've experienced in Krishna consciousness, when the mind is very peaceful and you're able to concentrate on Krishna, then you can really experience happiness. But when you're, like, passionate, doing devotional service in the mode of passion, doing devotion, service in the mode of ignorance, or even in the material mode of goodness, Hare Krishna, then you can't, you just can't be really like devotional. Yeah, you may be very enthusiastic, it may impress people, you may lead the greatest kirtans and get everybody up and dancing all over the place, but you're not really able to concentrate on the bhakti aspect. Of course, I was giving a course this past summer on something related to that, how people do devotional service, and of course they may appear to be very enthusiastic, or they may be very enthusiastic, but they're not thinking about what they're doing while they're doing it. And the only way to think of what they're doing while they're doing it, the purpose of what you're doing, is to have a peaceful mind. You know, it's really important. So anyway, so peace is required. So I was having a very interesting discussion 2 days ago with someone who used to be a Buddhist. And we were discussing how to give up the desires of this world. And one thing he told me that really shocked him when he came to Krishna consciousness was that there's a real ego. I mean, actually, this was the most shocking thing that he experienced. Because, you know, you're taught in, not only in Buddhism, but, you know, in impersonalism and all these other nice isms, you're taught to give up the ego. And nobody ever tells you there's a real ego. They just say, give up the ego. And he said, I was shocked. There's a real ego? I said, yeah, sure. And the only way to give up the false ego is to understand the real ego. Because if you're trying to, I was explaining to you, trying to give up the false ego, then basically, even if you're thinking, I want to give up the false ego, that's actually false ego. You know, because I was telling him in terms of a Zen koan. That's not a Jewish Zen person, in case you didn't know. In Zen, they have these koans. I mean, which are basically things that really like make your mind just all twisted. Like, what's the sound of one hand clapping? What's the sound of one cartel playing? I said that. So what are you going to do when you're trying to give up the false ego, or you're trying to become free from ego? But that's your goal, because that's also an egoistic, self-centered goal. So if you don't have a goal, or if you have a goal, then you're ego-centered. And if you don't have a goal, you're not going to try to give up the false ego. So what are you going to do about it? So he got confused, obviously, because that's what a Zen koan is supposed to do, make you confused so you actually have a satori or something like that. You realize that you don't know anything. You become a little humble. So the point is we got to concentrate on the positive. That's Krishna consciousness. I mean, we have so many donuts in our Krishna consciousness movement, as Prabhupada said. Donuts, do not. So these do nots, of course, are required. And I was actually thinking of the Bhagavad Gita. Like, where does Krishna actually say you're not the body in the Bhagavad Gita? He says what you are, right? Does Krishna actually have a direct statement in the Gita, you're not the body? He says, you're the spirit soul. The spirit soul is eternal, full of bliss, you know, happiness, you know, not burned by the wind, burned by fire, withered by the wind, all these different statements. So it's all expressed. Generally, it's in a positive. I mean, there's some negative statements like, you know, the three gates going to hell, lust, anger, greed, which is pretty interesting. So I was explaining that we have to have this positive spiritual life in order to cut what's described here as, in this verse, the Hridayam, and other places, Hridayam Grantim. Grantim, the word used, Grantim basically means a knot. Which is actually very interesting. So sometimes that word is used in relationship to marriage, and I'm not criticizing marriage, that's not my point. That marriage, they tie a knot between the person's, the man's dhoti or cape and the woman's whatever, you know, or head covering. So there's a granti. And actually there's some places in Vrindavan that are named with the name Granta, where Radha and Krishna have their clothes tied together. So the point is, how do you cut that knot? And Bhagavatam tells us in the first canto, second chapter, text 15, is an interesting verse. It says, with sword in hand, and sword of knowledge. Anyone know that verse? No. With the sword of knowledge in hand, one cuts the knot of karma. Here it's called karma grunting in that particular verse. Karma grunting. In other words, the desire for fruit of activity. Karma means fruit of activity, it means activity, it means result. Depending on the context, it can mean a whole bunch of different things. So, in other words, with the knowledge given by the spiritual master, which is mentioned here, may my supreme spiritual master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. So many times we think that the desires, false desires in the core of the heart, are going to be cut simply by some ephemeral mercy. In other words, Gurudev, give me your mercy. Okay. Let me take some foot dust, which is okay. I mean, because we have the foot dust, the prasadam remnants, and the foot bathing water, which are very powerful substances. But there's a but there. But you have to concentrate on the knowledge given, you know, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chate Te Kuri Akya. the knowledge given by the spiritual master and fix that up on in your intelligence. What does that mean exactly? Does it mean theoretical knowledge? To a certain extent, yes, but then there's the application of that knowledge. What that means is that one has to be on the intelligence platform. Just like you find described about Maharaj Pariksit. Maharaj Pariksit means the examiner. Pariksit means the examiner. In other words, always looking for Krishna. I mean, sometimes people understand that in a very interesting way, that, you know, Maharaj Pariksit is looking under every cushion, you know. Is Krishna there? Of course Krishna is there, you know. Is Krishna in that mobile phone? Is Krishna in the light? Yeah, that's the light of the sun and the moon, so Krishna must be there. So, but it means to utilize Shastra Chakshush, not only Shastra Chakshush in terms of seeing Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Jamayi Pashati Tashaham Na Pranashami Sachame Na Pranashati. That's just seeing Krishna in everywhere, but to understand how Krishna would want you to interact with everything everywhere. And that means that's how the spiritual master cuts the knot of the heart. It's not that you just sit and wait for the mercy and then the lust is gone. I wish it was so easy. You know, I just wake up one morning, hey, no more lust. No more anger. No more greed. No more illusion. And there's Krishna sitting at the foot of my bed. Howdy. High five, you know. So, it's not like that. It means that one has to really apply the knowledge in dealings 24 hours a day. For example, if you're dealing with someone and someone says something, does something to stimulate your anger, you should be able to identify with your intelligence that's anger. You have to be able to differentiate the intelligence and the mind. That's another important point I made the other day in speaking to this nice devotee who was previously Buddhist. That, you know, we have, of course, the Pancha Mahabhuta, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then there's mind, intelligence, and false ego, and of course, when the false ego becomes uncovered, it's the real ego, because the false ego is just the real ego that has a covering on it. Because ego means the sense of self. It's not that we advocate giving up the sense of self, but the sense of false self, that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor. That's actually the knot in the heart. So, in other words, when someone does something, says something, to give an example, to stimulate your anger, then the intelligence should say, that's anger. The mind is saying, kill him. So there's a difference between the instructions or between the realization you get between the intelligence and the mind. It's quite interesting because the mind is saying, I mean, you can tell when someone's on the mental platform. Like they're driving a car, someone cuts them off. And then they start this thing called road rage. I think you have it in America, right? I saw it in other places. You know, someone just get really... They get out in Australia, you're not supposed to honk your horn because the person gets out of the car and beats you up somehow or other. You know, so I was driving with someone. I said, why don't you honk your horn? You know, because someone's backing out of his driveway. You know, you got to warn him. And he says, well, here in Australia, you're taking your life into your own hands because he'll come out and beat you up or something like that. So, in other words, the mind is saying, beat him up or scream or whatever. And the intelligence is saying, you're supposed to be Krishna conscious. Here's the direction of the spiritual master that you should calm down. Of course, it may take a little time out. Give the mind a little time out. Take a walk with the mind or with the intelligence. And then... And then you actually function on the spiritual platform. Then you're actually controlling and then you're actually connected with Krishna. I mean, this is the point. And of course, we have this verse in the 10th chapter of the Gita. Tesham satadiyuktanam vajatam pratipurgatam. The dhammi buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. This is interesting. So it also, the statement is that for one who is devoted to me, I give him the intelligence by which he can come to me. See? Dadami buddhi, unto him, dadami buddhi yogam tam. And then yenamam upayanti te, by which he comes to me. So it's the intelligence that actually is the knot, which is the knowledge described in the verse that I just quoted for the Bhagavatam, which is the sword that cuts the knot. You understand? By the intelligence. So, and there's other verses in regard to this too. How by utilizing intelligence, or intelligence coming from the spiritual master. See, one verse is spoken by Lord Jagbharata, in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam. Ruhuganai tat tapasa niyati nacheja nirvarpanad grahadvat nachandasa naiva jalagni suryar vana mahatpada vijopi shekham. Of course, in this particular verse, Jadabharata, that means the third appearance of Bharat Maharaj. First he was Bharat Maharaj, then Bharat the deer. I don't know what the deer's name was. Or Joe, a deer, a female deer, you know, whatever. And then after that he became Jadabharata. Jada means like a stone, acted like a stone. And so he is carrying the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugana. And Maharaj Rahugana is getting into a discussion, a philosophical discussion with him, when he discovers that Jadbharata is actually a pure devotee, a great personality. And Jadbharata says, Rahugana tat tapasaniyati. You think you're going to become Krishna conscious or spiritually conscious or detached from the material world, but not by tapasa. Many devotees actually think that, actually, by doing certain tapasya, you know, growing the beard during Prabhupada called it chaturmas. Anyway, by growing the beard or eating very little. I mean, some great devotees did that, but they also increased their hearing and chanting, you know, like with chanting. Chanting 64 rounds a day, 128 rounds a day, 192 rounds a day, whatever. The whole point is increase the hearing and chant. But tapasa, not by tapasa nayati, nor by taking sannyas. Many devotees think, you know, taking sannyas is actually put you on a higher spiritual platform. Taking sannyas just means you get more tests. You get more tests because everybody is respecting you. Just like I was listening to a class of Vrinda Nandamara. She was describing what people went through when Prabhupada left the planet and they were sannyasi and they were gurus. I mean, it was quite intense. You're 23, 24 years old or 26 years old and everybody's bowing down to you. And, you know, I remember when I took sannyasa, it was just like, you know, and then the first time I had a disciple, you know, I saw my picture on the altar. I said, oh, that's my picture. You know, it is something, like the first time you see, like, normally you're used to seeing Prabhupada's picture, another Vaishnava's picture on the altar. Hey, that's me. So nowadays it doesn't turn me on anymore. So, you know, you grow out of these things. So tapasa, the yati means taking sannyas. So taking sannyas doesn't make you Krishna conscious. It just may increase your false ego. Nor by doing certain austerities like putting yourself in fire, surrounding you in the middle of the summer, especially at Govardhan where it's 125 degrees. It's already like fire. or gelatinous surya, or putting yourself in ice cubes in the middle of the winter. Gelatinous surya. Uh-huh. And ultimately, the statement is that Mahopishi come, that only by taking actually taking a bath or abhishek in the dust of the feet of the Mahatmas, which basically means Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chutete Kodiyaki, which is the same thing here being described in this verse. By rendering service to the Supreme Personality of God, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. So in other words, the Guru cuts the desire from the core of the heart through knowledge. Through knowledge. So there's many, many statements. Another statement, of course, is in the 15th chapter of the Gita, where Krishna describes the knot in the heart, using the metaphor of a banyan tree. Because that's a very appropriate metaphor, because the banyan tree is, you can't tell where the roots are, you can't tell where the roots be, whether it's a root, or it's a branch, or the branches are roots, and the roots are branches, you don't know where it begins. And there's some banyan trees that are actually several acres big. In Fiji, they have banyan trees like that. Hawaii, there's some big banyan trees too. And you really can't tell where it begins. It goes underground, it goes to the neighbor's yard, and you have to spend thousands of dollars to have people cut it so that you don't get sued by the neighbor, it doesn't destroy the foundation of your building. So Krishna uses this banyan tree to illustrate the same thing, the principle of the knot. It's just like, how do you get out? And again, the statement is by the weapon of detachment. And then Krishna states this famous verse in the 15th chapter, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha avyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvar vimuktar sukadukka sangyar gachanchi mudha padamaviyam tat. He says, one has to be freed from false prestige, nirmana, moha, nirmana. Moha means illusion, of course. So, in other words, let's take the positive, because we were talking before about how to become free from these things. You can't become free from false prestige by trying to become free from false prestige. You have to give Krishna the prestige. In other words, you have to identify yourself as a servant, dasa, dasa, dasana, das. In this way, you can become free from false prestige, nirvana moha, free from illusion. So instead of thinking, you know, I got to get out of illusion, you think, what is the reality? This is all based on the knowledge given by the spiritual master. What is the reality? Om Purnamada Purnamida. Everything is coming from the Lord, everything is a manifestation of the Lord, and also Ishivashamidam Sarvam Yadkancha Jagajanya Jagat. Everything is only controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, etc. So, by that consciousness, Nirvana Moha, and then also Jitta Sangha Dosha. So, Jitta Sangha means to give up or conquer, like we have Ajita, which means unconquerable. That's the name of Krishna. So jitta means to conquer. Sangha dosha. A dosha means bad, not something that you eat. Like a dosha. Sangha dosha means bad association. So the positive of that is sadhu sangha sarvasashrikoi lipamatra sadhu sangha sarvasidihoi. To take good association. To always seek good association. And that's how you give up bad association. Because if you don't seek good association, you'll have the bad association with your mind. Because your mind is the bad association. The senses, the mind, they're the sitting places for this lust. You know, isn't it? So anyway, so sangha dosha, abhyatma nitya vinivritta kan, giving up lust. In other words, becoming enthusiastic to serve Krishna, loving Krishna. That's a positive. So we should always be thinking in positive. Vinivritta kama advanvara vimuktar, being freed from the duality, the illusion of duality. A duality means I and mine, or of course sometimes means pleasure and pain. It means simply thinking of the unity of Krishna and pleasing Krishna. It's all based on bhakti. Everything should be based on bhakti. Loving Krishna, trying to please Krishna, I'm a servant of Krishna. It's all positive identifications. And that's the intelligence given by the spiritual master. In this way, when one reaches the stage of being not bewildered, mudha means like ass or bewildered, he can transcend this world and reach Krishna's supreme abode. Anyway, so these are some of the points here. If you want to become happy for the rest of your life, I'm not going to sing that song. Anyway, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life and for eternity, then you have to obtain this knowledge from the spiritual master and apply it 24/7 in connecting yourself with Krishna and beyond the intelligence platform, not the mental platform. Mental is accepting, rejecting things based upon basically your impulse. It feels good. I should eat that. Eat. Like, and then it's like a dog, isn't it? When a dog sees something, it either eats it or has sex with it. Yeah. Or fights with it. That's the mind. The mind is like dog. Eat, have sex, or smoke it or something like that, you know, some herbal medicine. So instead of intelligence, no. It's not what Krishna wants, but Krishna wants this possibly. So, yeah.
I'm reading Bhagavad Gita this the other day, and I have a verse here. Titikshava says
tolerate.
But Prabhupada says tolerate without being disturbed. So, what if we tolerate, but we have emotional
The only solution is come to the intelligence platform. Make the intelligence very strong. Prabhupada said the intelligence and the soul are this close. So you make the intelligence very strong, and that's really our endeavor. And that can be only based on knowledge. That's the only way. Otherwise you become bitter, angry, frustrated. Like me. So... Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Radha Gopinanda Ki Jai.